Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, my friends, we are back live halfway into this transmission. Victor Ostrowski, former Israeli Navy officer, and of course Mossad officer as well, is going to be joining us to give us his take on what's happened with Israel and the flotilla, and now more ships coming. And what do you think Israel's going to do with that situation, what Turkey's going to do? That's coming up. Let's go to Corey, Ian, and others right now. Ian in England, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello there, Alex.
Yes, Ian. Go ahead.
Hi, very good to hear from you. I've got, and please don't get upset with what I'm going to ask, but I've been very interested in your following of Machete, the movie as it's going out. And I'm just wondering why we can't, I mean, you always say to, you know, validate the information. And I've looked everywhere for a copy of the script. Is there anywhere that it is, you know, a surreptitious distribution occurred?
Well, to be clear, I was sent the script by an unnamed person involved with the production. So we're just going to leave that. I mean, you understand the media has sources, and you don't give those sources up, or you don't ever get another source again?
Yes, Alex, I totally understand that.
Okay. So you've seen the trailer for it, and you can read the article 2 weeks ago. He did an interview, Rob Rodriguez, the filmmaker, with Ain't It Cool News, and he said, I agree, there is some stuff in there that could have caused problems with what's happening in Arizona, and then he's going to cut it out of the film. And I shot video of the script with screenshots. Have you seen the video I put up with video of the pages underlined?
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, that's a digital reproduction. I mean, how do you know? I mean, if that could be fake, then the whole thing could be fake. I just put out a fake script. I mean, Rodriguez hasn't denied that I have the script. It's been in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, the Miami Herald, the Arizona newspapers. It's been in the L.A. Times. It's been in the Washington Post. I mean, Mr. Rodriguez hasn't denied that I have the script.
Absolutely. I'm not denying that what you put up there is in any way, shape, or form.
Well, it gets into a copyright issue. It's one thing for me to show a script and to show maybe 30, 40 pages of an 87-page thing. And that's even, you know, really a spoiler. But this is political, so, and it's news, and I'm exposing it to stop some type of race war. Okay? What am I supposed to do? I mean, the trailer is what's in the movie. I have the script, and Fox, 20th Century Fox, pulled the trailer. I mean, what are you implying? I don't understand.
No, I'm not implying anything, Alex. That's the whole point. I said at the beginning, please don't take exception to it.
No, I know, but I'm telling you, I just feel like it's wrong to take somebody's book and publish the whole thing. I thought it was borderline to even show the script, and it was any other movie that wasn't about race war and hadn't been paralleled, and if Arizona hadn't been called out, this is a message to Arizona, and if I didn't think it was a psyop, I wouldn't have come out and reached out to the director saying, are you being used here, buddy? I mean, I was contacted by his people. And so it's a thin line to walk when you've got a script for a movie 5-6 months before it comes out. Or I guess 4 months before it comes out. We have the script, and I'm not going to put the whole thing out. Because, you know, I don't want to, you know, in hindsight, he said he's cutting the race war stuff out. And then that even kind of feels dirty to have somebody change something because I'm putting pressure on it. I'm not even calling for his censorship. I'm just speaking out against it and pointing out the taxpayer money did go to it. What do you think of that? But I don't have any wish to damage Robert Rodriguez. And, you know, and I think overall they'll end up helping his film in hindsight that we've talked about it. But now there'll be a counterbalance to it in the debate. And I think because, I mean, he did say now that he thinks about it, maybe he had too much tequila and he's going to change it. I mean, my job was to reach out to Robert Rodriguez and say, hey, pal, look at what you're doing. And as soon as he said, you know what, Alex, you're right. There is a problem here. I said, well, I respect that. Good job. So there you go. All right, we'll come back with our guests and get into the whole situation with Israel and a lot more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The question is, where should the American people draw their line in the sand?
What have we got? A republic or a monarchy?
A republic.
It's based on a constitution which protects minority rights.
Not democracy, not mob rule, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
So they think they own our land. They think they own our water, children, our education, our money.
We have to define who we are and what we will tolerate.
Somebody's going to ask you what you did during the Patriot Uprising.
You have been warned.
We have the facts. We have the Constitution. We have the Bill of Rights. We have common law. Knowledge is power, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so excited to be able to offer you, Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. Tyranny is upon us, but liberty and the sleeping giant that is the American people is rising. A new tool in the info war. Don't Tread on Me. Order it at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139 and support independent, patriotic, liberty films.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Gentlemen, thank you for joining us 8 minutes into this third hour. Victor Ostrovsky is our guest. We had him on many years ago about his book, On the Other Side of Deception. And, of course, the first book was a New York Times number one bestseller by way of deception, and that turned into a big court case when the Israeli government filed a suit trying to block it that went to the Supreme Court. And you can go to his different websites, thebookpatch.com, where alternative books can be published online, or you can go to his fine art website as well, and we'll give you both of those coming up. But I wanted to get him on because I saw a Washington Post headline yesterday where he, you know, basically criticized what happened, and he called it stupid. It was stupefying stupidity, I believe, was the quote. And he is uniquely qualified to talk about this because he was an Israeli naval commander. He was also the head of the Israeli Naval Weapons Development Program, and then he was also a case officer in the Israeli Mossad, and then he left and spoke out about corruption, disinfo they gave the government, and other things. We were talking during the break before he came live, you know, because he hadn't been on in probably 4 or 5 years or longer, and I said to him, well, just to be clear, I'm not part of the religion of hating Israel, and I'm also not part of the religion of worshiping Israel, because it seems like there's two different polarized camps. And I make both sides mad at me. I just think every government's corrupt and out of control, like Thomas Jefferson said. And I think Israel, you know, just from a layman's term, why not just stop the propellers? Why not just let it come into dock and you know, then follow any weapons via satellite? I mean, it was definitely a PR disaster. And now you got Turkey coming in with ships. You got another flotilla coming in with Nobel laureates on board. And you got the North Korea situation with the U.S. George Washington going there. All these crises popping up right now. We couldn't have a better guest on than Victor. So, Victor, break it down for us first, your experience in the Israeli Navy and then in the Mossad. I mean, I can't think of anybody better to speak about this. And the point you made in the Washington Post that you believe the actual boots on the ground who have the expertise were ignored and that Netanyahu and others were running this. And so we'll talk about your history, what you think happened, what was wrong, and what you think they'll do next, knowing their mindset.
Well, first of all, this kind of like united all the extremists in Israel, shouting, actually, when you read in the Israeli papers, the commentary after the articles, they're saying, well, let them come again, we'll send them back in coffins. I mean, this is the kind of, crowd mentality that you get when things like that take place. Netanyahu already announced today that he's willing to consider changes in the blockade on Gaza and bring in international forces that would be helpful in checking materials that are coming in and out. So basically what they tried to do with this flotilla had succeeded. They wanted to point to a situation which is very disastrous, very bad for the reputation of Israel, this blockade holding so many people in such a dire strait. The stupidity, in my opinion, was on the tactical side, not necessarily just the political, because, sometimes I look at people and you see all the actors and all these people come and talk about politics and what they would do and whatever. And just because people know their name, they think they have a right to an opinion. I'm not a politician. So put that aside. Look at the tactical side of it. Here come ships loaded with civilians who you know what they are carrying. You know there are no weapons aboard. The Turkish government has checked that. It is your ally. You're about to have a military exercise with the Turks in the Mediterranean. So it's not really an enemy, right? And they're saying there are no weapons aboard. So, take the steps and make it like try to stop them outside the territorial water. The Navy can do that. The Israeli Navy, the Israeli commandos, probably the best in the world in doing that after the SEALs, the American SEALs. They could have stopped them quietly. The guys on board would not even know what happened. But first of all, even though you have the San Remo naval, manual that allows you to board ships if you have an embargo on an area outside your territorial waters, why go there? Why not let them cross into the territorial waters? It's still way out of range. I mean, you're talking about 12, 14 miles. Let them in and then take whatever exercise you do. So at least you're taking one bad block off the table. You're not in international waters. Secondly, the raid itself, the way they came into the ship, that was stupid. I mean, I've worked with these commandos. You can come down from a helicopter four at a time. They chose to come down one at a time because of the narrow area that they had at the top of the ship. Who comes in the top of the ship? Why not at the bow or the stern where you have at least two or three areas that are protected? The whole operation was stupid. You clearly saw that this was something that was kind of pulled at the last minute, like somebody was shouting, go, 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 we don't have any time, let's do it, and they had months to plan for this. So there goes my stupid, and it's stupid.
Well, I think it would have been politically smarter just to let the ships in. If you know they were searched in Turkey, there's not weapons other than clubs, let them bring the aid into Gaza.
Well, now you're talking on the political side. Here's the problem. The Israelis have stopped the bringing in of supplies into Gaza to a point where, for example, you can bring in, cinnamon, but you can't bring in cardamom. They have lists of things that the soldiers and the officers are busy making sure what comes in and what doesn't come in. The blockade is not just against weapons. They're not allowing construction materials like concrete and metal, because they're saying the metal will be used for missiles, the concrete will be used for bunkers. They don't, and yet they have, and this is after the last raid into Gaza, which demolished, 35% of all houses there. So the blockade is not just against weapons. It doesn't allow a variety of foods. It only allows a very limited amount of medical equipment. So the lists are very long. This is a humanitarian problem with the blockade itself. This is not typical Israeli behavior. This is something that is almost vicious in its behavior to that. That would never have been done and never has been done in the West Bank. They're trying to basically tell the populace in Gaza, as long as you have the Hamas as your leaders, you're going to be suffering. And that's against the Geneva Convention. It's against everything else. You cannot.
And that's also historically just going to turn the population who wasn't radicalized to Hamas and only make them dig in.
Absolutely. And we know that. I mean, the bottom line, the philosophy that always was prevalent in Israel was you can't fight ideas with force. The only way you fight an idea is with a better idea. And this has been forgotten. It's like we can force them to surrender. And we know that's not possible. I mean, we had a blockade against the state of Israel before it was a state. It was still Palestine. And the British put a blockade, and it didn't help. We kept bringing in people. We brought in arms. We fought them off, because the stronger they fought, the harder we fought back. This is the way people are. There are three kinds of terrorism. There's a psychological, or what's called ideological terrorists. You have the territorial terrorists, and you have the Looney Tunes. Well, the Looney Tunes and the ideological ones you can usually beat, but the territorial ones you can't. These are people fighting for freedom on their land. They almost always succeed. I mean, take it from starting from the American Revolution, and you go through every time.
You've got Vietnam. You've got the 80s with the Afghans and the Russians. I mean, it's always.
The people who have the ideological ones, which used to be like the Bader Meinhof or the Red Army Brigades or any one of those, they have disappeared in time. That's why Al-Qaeda, for example, tries to latch itself on to a territorial terrorist groups. That's why Al-Qaeda wants to be tied in with groups like the Hamas, like the people in Yemen, because they need a territorial background and the suffering of a people to recruit new people to their lines. The Gaza is like the magnet for all these terrorist organizations.
It's the Mecca
against the West.
It's the Mecca.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about that. And the suffering there is unbelievable. I mean, people don't understand what we're talking about. Going to the Gaza Strip, Soweto in South Africa, at its worst, was a paradise compared to what's going on in Gaza.
It's incredible. In the time we've got, I want to get into your books and some of the things you criticized the Israeli government and the Mossad did when you were involved in it, and also the Navy. But you talked about militarily, if they were going to do this, you would go in an open-top wet submarine, or basically a glorified underwater Sea-Doo. And then basically, there's a lot of different ways to disable those propellers. And then it doesn't give the people wanting to have this big standoff a spectacular event. Because, at a base level, people always cheer for the underdog. You got folks, with clubs getting shot by commandos. I mean, that, any way you slice it, is going to be a PR disaster for Israel. And again, I'm no genius about all this stuff, but I could see that. I mean, it seems like a 5-year-old can mentally work through all this.
Absolutely, it's stupefying. I mean, how do you even explain it when you have the Israeli government responding and saying, okay, they came down with commandos on board ships in the middle of the night from a helicopter, and then they're saying that the people defending themselves are attacking the soldiers? I mean, Even the explanation is stupid.
Stay there, Victor. This is Key Info coming up.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
You may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
Tyranny is here. The grim future foretold in 1984 has become reality.
It really says that the state is God.
The United States is now recognized globally as one of the most oppressive police states on Earth. This film conclusively proves the existence of a secret network of FEMA camps, now being expanded nationwide. This documentary exposes how the continuity of government program has established an all-powerful shadow state. Police State 4 chronicles the sickening depths to which our republic has fallen. Prepare to enter the secretive world of emergency dictatorship. Body scanners, sound cameras, citizen spies, stage terror, and cameras on every street corner. It's only the beginning of the New World Order's hellish plan. The police state isn't coming. It's here. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or see it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Fatigue, headaches, allergies and asthma, chronic disease. Is your home making you sick? Here's a fact. Our indoor air quality is getting worse, and the causes include chemicals, toxic gases, dust, pollen, dander, and even chemtrail particulates. To rid your home of these contaminants, get the best-priced air purifiers in the industry at airfiltersandpurifiers.com. Our air purifiers are specialized to fit your needs, from allergy sufferers to the sleep-deprived to the chemically sensitive. And with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. And healthy, purified, clean air to gain. Call us at 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off when you use promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. Your trusted advisor for clean air.
Victor Ostrovsky is our guest, naval commander, the head of their naval weapons program, and then, of course, recruited to be a case officer for the Israeli Mossad. And he's authored two nonfiction books about his service in the Mossad. We're going to tell you about his website, thebookpatch.com, coming up, or ostrovskyfineart.com. This is a short segment. You were finishing up with the plight of what's happening in Gaza. And then I want you to elaborate on the mindset of the Likudniks who say, hey, we got 400 nukes and, you know, we're just ready to go wild. I mean, basically, I mean, chutzpah is the word. And then expanding on that, what you see happening with Turkey, they're saying they're going to send naval ships in They're saying that, you know, more ships from Ireland and Malta and other places are coming. And what do you expect Israel to do?
Well, according to the prime minister, he's already starting to show that he's, you know, under U.S. pressure. Netanyahu, he just may, you know, ease the Gaza siege. I mean, there's no question about that. And easing it in a way that he would kind of like backtrack but not lose face in to his own party, which is an extreme right-wing party in Israel, which has people like Lieberman and others who are extremely right-wing. I mean, these are people who are calling for any citizen in Israel to make an oath of allegiance to Israel as a Jewish state. Now, that would be a problem for a lot of Palestinians who are not Jewish, and if and he wants them to lose their citizenship should they not be willing to make that oath. So that's the kind of people we're dealing with. So Netanyahu is caught between, you know, the rock and the hard place. Even if he wants to compromise, he has to do it in a way that he shows that he's not losing face. He will try and give some leniency towards materials coming in, and that would alleviate the situation in the Gaza Strip without a question. Turkey may, I don't think they will, but they may send, you know, an escort, a military escort with those ships. Then the question is, do you actually confront them? Do you put Israeli ships to confront Turkish ships? That I don't think is something Israel would want to do. Now, the Turkish ships would not cross into Israeli the waters. They would probably stop in the, you know, in the international water on the line if that were to happen. Now, we're dealing with countries here that are easy to get, you know, to heat up. You know, Turkey, with all due respect, is not exactly your angel in the area. I mean, they're dealing with the Kurds in a way that, you know, nobody wants to. They're preventing them from their own languages, and there's a lot of things they have. They're not willing.
Yeah, Turkey's got a military iron fist and basically a front government, and that's on record, and that's going to destabilize Turkey if they are put into a confrontation with Israel.
Absolutely, and it's an internal problem that they have to solve, too. And Erdogan, who is, you know, trying to show a face to the Muslim world in what he's doing, is basically this whole situation has forced everybody in the whole arena to turn towards their extreme side and say, we're not on Israel's side. That's what they have achieved in this. So this is what Israel has achieved in their attack on the ship. Egypt, which was an ally to Israel for at least 3 years in this blockade, had to back off and open the border, you know, between Gaza and Israel. Already 500 Palestinians had been allowed into Egypt, and they're allowing a lot more, something they had not done for the last 3 years under extreme pressure, you know, from all the Arab world, and they have allowed it now. So basically it's kind of like, talk about shoot yourself in the foot. This is exactly what they have done. Had they stopped them out in the water, like you said before, with those what's called wet submarines, which is really a large torpedo with two or three or six seats in it, that people are, you know, divers are in it with their oxygen tanks and whatever, they could have come close to the rear end of those ships and stopped them without nobody on board even knowing what happened. They could have boarded these ships in a way that would be a lot easier to handle. I mean, again, they basically almost started the riot by, you know, they threw tear gas grenades first before they came off the helicopters, and then figured that's what's going to happen. And now some of them are saying, well, we came down with paintball rifles. Well, okay, even if they had paintball rifles, which I doubt, how does the guy on the ground know that what's aiming at him is a paintball
rifle? Well, how do all these people get killed if it's paintball?
Well, and here's the funny part. They say paintball rifles, but then they say, well, they shot at us. They say, but they didn't have any, the people in the ship did not have any weapons. They said, yeah, but they took some weapons from Israeli soldiers and then shot at them. Well, how is it that when an Israeli soldier shoots, it's a paintball rifle, and when he shot back, it's a real gun?
Yeah, it's amazing propaganda, but just to be clear earlier, we're going to break. We'll get the answer when we come back. You're saying that it's good the people were defending themselves, or that's a normal response. That's what I got from what you said before the last break. So stay there, sir. We'll come back, long segment, get your take on that. And then we'll overall talk about the state of Israel, period, and where you see the whole world going. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
They helped to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Or watch it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
For decades, physician and veterinarian Dr. Joel Wallach has been lecturing on how the mainstream medical system has failed us. The model of using drugs and surgeries isn't allowing Americans to live long and healthy lives, but there are alternatives to this broken model. Now, here's Dr. Joel Wallach with his Deadly Recipes lecture for your good health and longevity.
Our goal, of course, is to have everybody die after 120. I don't care if it's 150 or 200, whatever it is. We have the capacity, we have the knowledge to get you well beyond 100. Everybody, when they die past 120, should only have two pieces of paper in your health chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. If you have a 4-inch thick health chart full of all these surgeries and all these diseases, your doctor has failed you. The system has failed you. We want people, when they think of health, well, I'm not going to run to the doctor. I can do this myself. Just like when you're going to lay tile in your house. Does everybody call a contractor now? No, they say, I'm going to run to Home Depot and price some tile there.
Hey, it's MZ. That's the beginning of an inspiring and masterful health lecture by Dr. Joel Wallach. Like Alex Jones, Doc has been subject to ridicule by mainstream forces just for telling the truth. Everyone needs to hear the Deadly Recipes lecture. Listen to it in full at deadlyrecipes.com, and please help us spread the message of the real and simple way to fix health care in America. Remember, deadlyrecipes.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We're going back to our guest here in a moment. I may even keep him a little bit in the next hour if he can do it, and take a few calls at 1-800-259-9231. Wanted to remind you, we have an online video bookstore shopping cart at Infowars.com. And my film, Fall of the Republic, exposes how there's a global corporate takeover of every sovereign nation on Earth, and how these big banks have sold derivatives to the nation states. This is just a form of neo-colonialism and a stealth empire, and if we're aware of this system, it will not succeed. And it's already in deep trouble. So be sure and get Fall of the Republic, available at Infowars.com, a two-hour film with expanded extras, such an important documentary. Jason Burmes's Invisible Empire, New Order Defined, just came out about a month and a half ago, getting into the globalists and their overall master operation. And, of course, a solution video, Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic, with myself, Michael Bagnarek, Charles Keeb, Edwin Vieira, and many others. And it gets into the 10th and 9th Amendment, how to take the states back and how to save our country. Such an important film. Where were you during the Second American Revolution? Don't Tread on Me. Available at Infowars.com or by calling toll free 888-253-3139. Or you can also write to us at P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. When you're on the site, check out some of the specials and combos. We've got videos as low as $5.95 a piece, and your purchase of the films also makes this broadcast possible. You can also see all my films and a lot of other films like Don't Tread on Me at PrisonPlanet.tv if you're a member at PrisonPlanet.tv. We also stream the live show. One other sponsor I want to tell you about is Weapons Universe. We have a great sponsor, You're going to love these folks of everything you can imagine for your self-defense need. And you need to go to weapons-universe.com, weapons-universe.com. Whether you need knives, stun guns, blowguns, collapsible batons, they have it all at weapons-universe.com. They have authentic movie replica swords like the one made out of folded steel of the movie Conan. They sent me one. It's awesome. Made in Spain. This is nice stuff. You won't find a better selection of brand named like Cold Steel, Spy Draco, and Smith & Wesson. Weapons-universe.com is the largest selection and some of the best prices you'll find anywhere. Weapons-universe.com, or check on the link at Infowars.com. You'll be glad you did. Weapons-universe.com. And speaking of great info, because they tried to censor his best-selling books, he set up the bookpatch.com. Victor Ostrowski, again, former Israeli naval commander and then Mossad case officer, commander. Tell us about thebookpatch.com.
Well, the bookpatch is a website that is designed for writers of all kinds. It's absolutely free. You go there and you can start writing your book. We have writing tools that are not available anywhere that I designed for myself and then made it available on that site. You can write there. You can invite your friends to join you. You can co-author with others. You can communicate. You can write from anywhere that you have an internet connection. You can use the site to have other people read your chapters and comment. You can hire or get editors to help you do that. And when you're done and everything is finished, you can press a button and get it, either download it as a PDF to yourself or order a real hard copy book. You can order a single copy. And, you can get your first book for like $16, and then it goes down. By the time you reach book number 10, you're less than about $8 or $7 a copy.
Wow, so that's a very affordable books on demand, but really one-stop shop.
Absolutely, and you don't have to order them. And in fact, if you finish writing it, you can put it in the bookstore, and other people will order it, and then they buy it. You don't have to order books. You don't have to put any expenditure out forward. I mean, I think people who have a talent or have something to say and want to have a book out don't have to go into a big spending spree in order to get one in their hand. I think, it should be something that's really easy and cheap and inexpensive, and that's what we try to do, and that's why the book patch is we've launched it about 2 weeks ago, and we have over 400 people writing books as we speak.
Amazing. It's a genius idea, and I hope folks check it out. And we'll talk about why you launched it from your experience of attempted censorship. Now finishing up, before we get into some other subjects with you while we have you, what do you expect to happen, though? I mean, you're saying it'd be smart of Netanyahu to back off, and you're saying it looks like he is a little bit, but the same bravada or arrogance, or I mean, I don't know what you call it, that caused this could lead to more. I mean, I don't want you to look into a crystal ball because none of us have one, but what do you think is most likely to happen?
Well, I think that the ships are going to continue coming. There's no question about that. You can understand why. There is a people in suffering, and there is a need to help. So this is just one covers the other. And there is a force trying to stop them. And people feel that they're justified in doing it, and more volunteers will join and make that happen. It's kind of like, they're fighting the good fight, so to speak. What would happen is that Israel will find a way, and I think that's what they're working on now, to allow the ship closer in, to surround it in a way that it's not harmful to the people on board, and to show that they're allowing the material to come down, but they don't want the big presentation. That is the best smart way to do it. But again, considering the fact that we're dealing with the same people who send commandos in the middle of the night to drop onto a ship fully armed and then complain that they were being attacked, then, what do you say? I mean, what could you...
Well, that's another point. I mean, there's that archetypal thing of men lowering down in the night, that's when the bad guys come.
That's right, and you're scared of that. I mean, wouldn't you be scared? I mean, what would you... Now, don't forget, we're talking about people that have been dealing with Israel on the sharp side of the bayonet. So they know what's happening. Israeli soldiers have, gone into the West Bank, have gone into Gaza, had used their weapons. People have died in large numbers. So
yeah, a lot of the people on that boat have family or cousins or friends that are dead.
I would not know. You know, I don't know. But I know a lot of them are volunteers who have heard about that.
No, some of them were former Gazans, yeah.
Yes. And some of them are people that, you know, have never been back to Israel and, you know, their families have been evicted in 48. So you don't know, but there's a lot of tension going on. And now when they're being attacked, they have no idea or they can believe that, you know, the soldiers are coming to kill them. I mean, they don't know. And it's not like the Israelis came down from the helicopter, you know, threw down ballots and said, we're coming in a force, do not resist us, you know, we will fire at it. They just came down those ropes and the people, and to say that they had weapons, I mean, they're showing kitchen knives. Show me a cruise ship that doesn't have kitchen knives.
Or binoculars.
What kind of weapons are those? And then they have...
Well, they're calling binoculars night vision, but expanding on that, a Arab member of the Israeli Knesset is on record, you've probably seen this, saying that Israel wanted high casualties to intimidate people from coming. But watching the video, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, it doesn't really look like that. It just looks like Laurel and Hardy, basically.
Absolutely. You know what? There is no way. Legitimate government in Israel, and I don't care if they're right wing or left wing or center, would send people out to, you know, to go kill them. And anybody who says that doesn't know what the hell they're talking about, because that would not happen, and nobody would ever dare even say that.
Well, it wouldn't happen because it would be a PR disaster.
Well, no, it wouldn't happen because that is not what Israelis are about. That's not, you know, that's taking it to a degree that it's not there.
Well, let me expand on that since you brought that up. What about the USS Liberty? 2 years ago that they did declassify the NSA intercepts, that Israel was not being honest about why they attacked that ship.
Well, let me tell you this about the Liberty. I was in the Navy. I was not in the Navy at the time that it happened. I can tell you categorically, okay, from my knowledge of the people who were involved at the time in the Israeli Navy, categorically, and you can see that I'm not somebody who goes out to defend Israel. Categorically, this was an accident. Now, there was a lot of screw-ups on the way. I have spoken to many people of the Liberty. I have said this again and again. There was an ambassador from Lebanon, an American ambassador in Lebanon, who said, and this was, he was making a speech, and I was on the phone. I was on a remote, you know, contact, and he said that he personally heard Israeli pilots talking to each other and saying that they recognized or they notified or they saw the flag that was being waved, and that's an American ship, and they said, doesn't matter, let's go attack anyway. And then I turned to him and I spoke to him in Hebrew, and he did not respond because he said he doesn't understand Hebrew. So I asked him, did you hear their voices saying that, because you think the Israeli pilots were talking English just for you? And he kind of backed off, and he said, no, I read it in the transcripts. I said, but you just said you heard them in your own ears. And it went on and on. There's a lot of fabrication going on about that particular piece, but I can tell you categorically, knowing the people. I also know that the head of the Israeli Navy at the time was not found anywhere, and everybody was looking for him because they had the skunk on the radars, a skunk being an unidentified ship, and he was nowhere to be had because he was having an affair. In the middle of the war. So, you know, not everybody came out smelling well from that, but that was not a deliberate act. And the mistakes were, you know, colossal.
I've interviewed the admirals, and they're all dead now, but those interviews are there. And they said that when they got on the phone to McNamara and said, we're sending ships to defend, McNamara said, no, you're not to, and they refused his order. And then LBJ came on and said, look, that ship's going to the GD bottom. And that basically it was a pre-done deal to blame it on Egypt, but you're saying that isn't the deal.
No, I'm saying no. You're mixing two things. The fact that there was a cover-up after that, and that American ships or forces were not sent to aid, and all that is accurate. I don't know about that. I can't say to that anything. I can only say that the attack on the ship itself was not a deliberate act by the Israeli Navy or the Israeli Air Force, and nobody who fired at any point has known or admitted to know that it was
How could torpedo boats not see an American flag?
Well, because by the time the torpedo boats arrived, you're talking about there was smoke on board already. They called in the numbers that were on the side. They did not see the flag because the flag was being waved towards the planes. Now, this is all I can tell you. I mean, I can't get into a lot of detail about it because of the fact that I have not been there. But I know the people that were involved. And on a personal level, this is completely on a personal level, I can vouch for every one of them, knowing that none of the people I know would have opened fire on an American ship. Yeah, take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, well, from my research, it looks like a live-action Gulf of Tonkin. I mean, I'm not...
No, actually not. Now, where I find it hard to fathom, what I do find hard to fathom, is the fact that the airplanes, the planes did not see the flag. Now, I don't know. Now, maybe a pilot was strafing and he saw the flag at the last minute and he doesn't want to admit it. That could have been the case. I don't know. I've seen the footage from the machine gun cameras, right? And when it passes over, you don't see any flag at that point. And, in fact, that is available in the Israeli Navy book. I have a copy.
No, I know. I've seen the footage on television, and it's it's gray gun
exactly.
Pod camera, and
so
it's just you see
I've
a big black blob. But his eyes weren't shooting black and white film.
Absolutely, I can't argue with that. So that's what I'm saying. I can tell you from the Navy standpoint, the people who were on board and were involved from the Navy side did not know what they were firing.
Okay,
at.
Well, that's your take on it. I don't want to burn up all of our time.
No.
Separately, you've written two books. And I remember one account about the Israelis, submarine jacking in to a Libyan communications facility and sending out false flag info that then got Reagan to send in the aardvarks and blow up Gaddafi's tents. Break that down for us and talk about your books.
Well, okay, this was written in The Other Side of Deception, which is my second non-fictional book. And I described there what happened was there were Mossad units with the special forces that came in and installed a bounce-off device, which is kind of like it's a communication system that you can broadcast to it from some location. It then takes the communication that you've sent to it and will bounce it off as if it's coming from a source very close to where it's located. In fact, they put it in an apartment building, which was a block and a half or two blocks away, don't remember exactly, from the Libyan high command. And they broadcast information in code that was then broken to say that they basically took responsibility, that the Libyans put responsibility on the Libyans for the LaBelle attack where an American serviceman was killed. And that, called in itself as a terrorist attack against American forces, brought about the attack by Reagan, who called in an air attack on Libya that killed Gaddafi's daughter, I think, one of his children or something.
So that is a frame-up. And when,
yes.
And so when you were in the Mossad, you had knowledge of that?
Yes. Yes, and this is the information that I'm talking about.
Now, Israel cannot be happy that you're talking about that.
They never were. Well, Israel's not happy about anything I say. The point is, I don't wave flags. When I talk about these things, I talk about either what I know.
Now, I understand. It sounds like you're saying you're a political atheist. What are some other interests? I mean, what made you get upset with the Mossad and critical? I mean, what are some of the other misdeeds?
Well, what got me, I'm not a political atheist. I have a left leaning, and I admit that. And I think the Palestinians should have a state.
Well, by political, I mean atheist, I mean you just try to analyze the facts you see.
Yes, I do. My main concern with the Mossad, my main problem with the Mossad was the fact that the Mossad had is a very important entity in the protection of the state of Israel. And what it should do is gather information, analyze it to the best of its ability, put it into the process of, into the rest of the information gathering system, and provide the leaders of the state the ability to make a decision which is based on reality and data. The information, the Mossad had a tendency to feel that, politicians come and go. We can't rely on them to make the proper decisions. So therefore, we will tailor the information in a way that will cause about the results that we call for. you can't trust the Arabs, there's never going to be peace, the Palestinians have no intention.
And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah, all intelligence agencies have been caught doing that. Yeah,
absolutely, but I, you know, not being a member of others, I can't complain about them. And I don't feel a responsibility that I need to.
What type of missions did you mainly run?
Mainly recruiting of agents to the difference between a case officer and an agent, with a lot of people mix it up. A case officer is a person who works in the field and makes contact with people of the enemy, turns them, and then sends them back into their own countries to gather information for you. That's what a case officer does, and that was my
job. So you were like a spy master.
Absolutely, yes. Well, yeah, in a way, it's more a kind of a handler, and I was more on the side of the actual.
And that's a point you made in the Washington Post, that guaranteed Israeli intelligence is all over Turkey. They had people on probably all those ships.
No question about that. In fact, the question that arises today about this, this screw up, is which intelligence was wrong here? If the Mossad did not provide the intelligence to the naval intelligence, then it's Mossad's fault.
Well, stay there. Let's talk about that when we come back, and we'll take some phone calls with our guests.
Times are tough, and you got to stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at doobleshoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you'd get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions. You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase. Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate, good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world. Sign up today at doobleshoppers.com. Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at doobleshoppers.com. That's D-U-B-L-I shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
The question is, where should the American people draw their line in the sand?
What have we got? A republic or a monarchy?
A republic
is based on a constitution which protects minority rights.
Not democracy, not mob rule, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
So they think they own our land. They think they're on our water, children, our education, our money.
We have to define who we are and what we will tolerate.
Somebody's going to ask you what you did during the Patriot Uprising.
You have been warned.
We have the facts. We have the Constitution. We have the Bill of Rights. We have common law. Knowledge is power, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so excited to be able to offer you, Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. Tyranny is upon us, but liberty and the sleeping giant that is the American people is rising. A new tool in the info war. Don't Tread on Me. Order it at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139 and support independent, patriotic Liberty Films.
Hounded by debt collectors with phone calls and letters? Thinking of calling a debt relief company? Don't. Greedy lawyers and debt companies charge thousands. Why pay when you can get their solution absolutely free with New York Times best-selling author Herb Kay's number one debt secret, the how-to on stopping the calls without paying the debt companies. Yes, free for a very limited time. Here's Herb Kay.
Don't get ripped off by credit repair companies when I can give you the information you need to do it yourself for free.
Herb Kay was right. His free information helped me stop the calls and settle my debt.
What have you got to lose? Stop the calls now, get out of debt, and have more money. Get Herb Kay's number one debt secret absolutely free now. Call 800-822-1291. That's 800-822-1291. 800-822-1291.
This happens sometimes. I'm doing so much during the breaks that I forget the question I asked before the break. Maybe when we take a few calls, they can give us what that question was. Victor Ostrowski is our guest. The bookpatch.com is one of his websites. And we're here discussing the situation the world's in. Separately, you've got the whole North Korean peninsula with the U.S. aircraft carrier about to arrive. And I find it very curious that there's all these tensions rising globally as there's a world economic meltdown happening. And I go back to World War I and World War II. We always have wars when the planet is in a crisis. And I don't know if it's human instinct or if it's being orchestrated or what's happening, but looks like rough times are ahead. Victor, what's your take on the whole geopolitical landscape?
When you have problems economically, governments tend to go to war. I mean, it drowns out their failures and puts the focus on something more dangerous. It's like they said that, you know, the biggest solution to all economic problems would be aliens if they arrived, because then we would unite. Things can be solved in simple terms, but politicians have a problem that they have, you know, short-term elections. They have to get reelected again.
Well, you brought that up during a break. There's a lot of scandals in Israel right now. Maybe Netanyahu knew this would blow up, but it would have a way of unifying Israelis and is a good smokescreen.
Well, I think he's got a big problem with trying to solve the situation in the Middle East. I mean, when you have one of the chief heads of the American military go in front of Congress and say that every time an Israeli soldier shoots a Palestinian kid, you know, five more people join Al-Qaeda and shoot at American soldiers in Afghanistan. And he put he tied the things together, which are to be tied. I mean, one does relate to the other. I mean, we're all, so to speak, fighting the same war against terror. And as we're fighting it, we're creating situations that allow people to be recruited into that world. So, and we have to remember things from history. I mean, people are saying, oh, you know, we have people that are Americans that have joined Al-Qaeda, and, oh, they're all so surprised. But don't forget, you know, you had British heads of the intelligence who turned sides and joined the Soviets. So, you know.
Yeah, but you also had British commandos who helped set up the State of Israel as well.
That's correct. And so did American soldiers that were there. And
but expanding on that, if you have 1,000 Predator drones killing people indiscriminately, don't even have to know what their name is because they have a gun in Afghanistan or Pakistan.
Easy.
That is going to create real terrorism.
Well, the thing is this. Here's the thing. We have created these monsters, so to speak, that we can't talk to them. And if you can't talk to them, then you have to kill them. If they're saying, well, if you have to kill me, I'm going to fight back. On the other hand, if you create a dialogue and you open a window and you say, wait a minute, you know, let's not do it that way.
But the military-industrial complex wants war, wants a pretext, wants weapons sales, so it's only going to get worse.
Well, Eisenhower threatened against that. He warned us against that. He said at the time, beware of the military-industrial complex. And there is one, for example, in Israel. I know that for a fact. The Israeli military wants to try new weapons. They want to try new equipment. They want to make sure that things are happening. And that's why Mossad is part of that same game, saying, you know, we need to develop things so we can protect ourselves.
All right, we're going to do just one more segment. We'll have to have you back soon. We'll go to Free Patriot David George, a few others with quick questions for our guest, and then we'll definitely have him up sooner than, I don't know how many years. It might have been 8, 9 years. I forget. I just remember we've had Victor on before, and he remembers it as well. We'll be right back in 70 seconds.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCN Live.